God, made up of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The last couple of months, we've been learning about the mysterious one of the Trinity. Who is that? Who's the mysterious one of the Trinity? The Holy Spirit of God. For our study today, we're going to be looking at the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8 so you can follow along as I read. Beginning with verse 7 to verse 16, and I'll be reading in the NIV, New International Version. So if you have that one, even if you have the older one that was 1980, whatever, this is the newer one, so it might be a little different there. Personally, I like the older one better than the newer one, and then I actually like a few other translations, maybe even better than that. But anyways, we'll just read this one, so you follow along as I read. Romans chapter 8, 7 to 16. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14. Is our verse. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit who received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Verse 14, we're just doing a topical sermon coming off of this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Father, bless your word to our hearts. May you teach us. May you instruct us. May our faith be strengthened. And so we commit this message to you and ask that our hearts would be sensitive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The word led that you see in verse 14 reveals that the leading of God is a very personal thing. It means to be led by the hand of a guide. And it's not that He's going to lead the group. We went on the Smoke Jumpers tour, and we had a guy that led the group. He didn't lead me personally by hand. But this verse says the Spirit of God leads you and me personally by hand. And so when you think of the Holy Spirit of God, keep that in mind, that it's that personal for you and for me. And probably one of the greatest illustrations that many others have used when it comes to the leading of the Spirit that we could use comes from the horse ranch. How many here today have ever had a horse? Raise their hand. Hi, you've had a horse. Okay, there are a few. I'm going to ask a couple questions. I don't want you to answer. I want those who have never had a horse to answer the question. So here's the question. And the question is related to this. It's what the leading of the Spirit is not. I'm going to pick up something over here. I'm going to ask you what it is. Those that have never had a horse. And I'm one of those dude wannabes. What's this? OK, Can anybody who's never had a horse tell me what this is? A bridle? A bridle. The whole thing is a... Now, what is this? This is the bit. Okay, where does the bridle go? On the back of the horse? Over the horse's head? Where does this bit? The steel thing. In the mouth. When I went and borrowed this from Hap, I asked him if he would be our pretend horse. He didn't go along with it. Because that means he'd have to put this in his mouth, this bridle. And so this illustrates what the leading of the Spirit of God is not. It's not like a bridle. This bridle is referred to in James, or the bit of this, is referred to in James chapter 3, verse 3, where it says this, and it's related to the tongue. It says, when we put bits into the horse's mouths, here's why we do it, to make them obey. We can turn the whole animal by putting a bit in their mouth and make them obey us. That's not how God's Spirit leads His people. He doesn't make us do anything. He wants us to obey Him, but He never forces us to obey Him. He doesn't use the bridle when it comes to His leading of us as individuals and even as a church. Now, I have another one here I want to show you and ask all of those who have never had a horse. What is this one? Let me hold it up and you can see it. There. What is this called? This is called a halter. And the halter is also put where? On the head of the horse. And there's something that had that this doesn't have. No bit. No bit there. But this has a long rope there. And so the rider leads the horse from the ground. He doesn't get on the horse and use the bridle. He doesn't lead the horse from the back. He leads the horse from the front out on the ground. And so this would represent how God leads us, how the Spirit of God leads us is by way of the halter. The halter then has this lead rope, and you lead the horse from out in front. Now, to put the halter on the horse doesn't come easy from what I've read. I've never tried to do it, but I've seen it done. To put the halter on and lead the horse does not come naturally for the horse. Isn't that true? They're not just standing there at the very beginning and waiting for the halter to be put on them. A horse really is, by nature, wants to run free, wants to do its own thing. They don't want to be haltered. They don't want to be led. They will resist that with all their might. They will resist the process of putting this on. And it's no different for us. God wants to lead us with the halter. But we don't want to be haltered. We don't want to be led any more than the horse does. So right there we have the first point we have to keep in mind when it comes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Our first point is this. Number one, it's not natural for any of us to want to be led by God any more than it is for a horse to want to be led by its trainer. We naturally resist. We naturally rebel. We all want to do our own thing, go our own way. We don't want Christ to be Lord of our lives. We want to be Lord of our own lives. And so, like the horse, it doesn't come naturally for us. That brings us to our second main point. For a horse to be led, it must be broken by its trainer. And that is also true of you and me. We too need to be broken. And God understands that. We must have the self-will broken by God, to be led by Him. But we can still say no, can't we? We can still resist if we want to. Because He doesn't make us do it or force us to do it. He wants us to do it. And to bring us to the place where we will want to, then He will work to break us. For most of us, and if you're like me, the breaking process was very difficult and very painful. Have you been broken by the difficulties of life? Controlled by God? And if so, what did it take for you to be broken? For God to break you? I believe one of the biggies is failure. It can be failure in a ministry, it can be failure in a job, it can be failure in relationships, like a divorce. God can take the failure. What about the failure of parenting? You feel like you failed. And things just didn't turn out the way you thought they should turn out and the way you wanted them to turn out. And so God takes that, what looks like a failure, and uses it in our life to break us, to mold us, because He wants to lead us. It could be a disappointment. It can be an accident. Or the rejection of someone. Or what about a sickness? Couldn't that be something God uses to try to break you, to bring you to Him? God takes the difficulties and allows the difficulties. He doesn't have to. He could oversee everything and make it easy for us as His children, but He chooses not to. For different reasons, and this is one of them right here, because He knows that we're so rebellious at heart that He has to first get our attention, and then He begins to work in our life to break us to the point where we will turn to Him, we will trust Him, and we will let Him lead us in our lives. And it's the same for a horse. Just like you and me. There are times in our lives when we cry out to God, not again. Why this? Why is this happening to me and not Him? It's very possible that God is still trying to break you and me. You know what I think this whole thing is? And I could be wrong. Imagine a very hard rock or piece of coal. And God wants to break that self-will. And it seems to me like He chisels away at it. But I also think that there will also be often a really biggie. And it's like He puts the chisel there and just cracks the thing. But is that the end of it? Oh, finally I've now arrived and I'm finally letting Him lead me. No, then He continues to just chisel away at those little areas in our lives. And how does He do that? He brings difficulties and pain and unexpected things into our life. Why? Because He wants to lead us. At least that's one reason. Could it be that God wants to lead you, but you're not willing yet? There was a choir song. They used to sing it in the Fort Bragg church, and I've never forgot a phrase. Another trip around Mount Sinai. It took Israel a long, long time to finally trust God. And it was just another trip and another trip. And, you know, they were at it for 40 years. I just hope it doesn't take us individually 40 years to finally trust God, to finally be broken to the point where we're letting Him lead us in our lives. The Bible tells us that He is the good shepherd and we are the sheep and we're to follow Him. But so often as sheep, we want to be the shepherd. And we wander off doing our own thing, thinking that we know best, until we find ourselves in a mess in our lives. And sometimes we're so hard-headed that, like some sheep, the shepherd has to break their legs. Remember that part of the story? He would break their legs to get them to turn to him and follow him. He'd have to carry them around for a while because he wanted to teach them to trust him and to lead them. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Can you say that this morning? Is he your shepherd? It's either you or him. The Lord is my own personal shepherd. And then it goes on and says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." He will make us lie down beside the still waters. This says a couple of things to me. Number one, he knows where the green pastures and still waters are. You don't. We think we do. If I could just, whatever, you fill in the blank, get that or go there, then it would be green pastures. Then it would be cool waters. The problem with all of that is the sheep don't know where the green pastures are, and they don't know where the still waters are. Only the shepherd does. And he will lead you to those places. But even as he leads us to the green pastures and the still waters, sometimes we still resist, and he has to make us lie down in our lives. And so we've got to admit that we don't know. We don't know what's best. We don't know where the green pastures are and the still waters are. And we must come to believe that he does. That's what the horse has to eventually come to know, that the one leading him has his best interests in mind. And he's going to lead him to where the water is and where the food is. And so he begins to trust him. But sometimes he has to stop us and make us lie down from time to time, chip away at that self-will in our lives. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. You're going through God's breaking process. Why? So you can be led of the Holy Spirit of God. God will not force you to follow him, but he will do whatever he can to get you to the place where you will choose by faith to let him lead you. And you know why? Because he loves you too much not to. I also heard someone say, see if you horse people agree with this, that the earlier you start to train a horse by putting a halter on them, the easier it is for them to be led. Often you will begin to put a halter on a colt in the first few weeks of life. Some have said even about 3 or 4 days afterwards you begin to put that halter so they can get used to it. This also applies to Christians as well. It's good to teach young Christians about this early in their Christian walk. It's also important to teach children and teens about following God, about trusting God to let him lead you in your life, to seek his will for your life. It's much easier when you're a teen or a child to do that than when you get older. Isn't that true? It's not impossible, but it is easier for young people to be willing to follow the will of God, to go where he wants them to go, than it is as we get older. A little harder. We're a little more stubborn, maybe. A little more set in our ways. A little more difficult. But not impossible. It's never too late to start. This is what I believe. Kind of a Billism here. The will of God to me is a straight line on a piece of paper. And we're walking in the Spirit, following God, and we're going along there. And then there will come in times where we'll go to the left or the right, and we kind of move off, you know, left or right. And then eventually one day we come to the place where we confess our sin and get right with God, and we want to follow Him, and we're back on that straight line. I personally don't believe you can miss the will of God like some teach. It means that you missed it, that's it, you're done, it's over, it makes no difference. I believe at any point, at any time, you can come to God and step back into His will for your life. Yeah, you may have missed out on, you know, some blessings or some things you could have did for Him or whatever, or some pain due to sin. Yeah, that's true. But you can at any moment step back into the will of God for your life and be led of Him and used of Him. And He can take your past experiences, even the tough stuff, and use them for Him. But it's much better to get on that line and just, you know, go right through in your life. Isn't that true? Wouldn't you rather your kids or people, you know, do that than go off and, you know, sow their wild oats and in their life? Well, anyhow, leading of the Spirit of God becomes much easier when you choose to do it. Choose to walk with God and love Him and serve Him at a younger age. And the younger, the better. So, number one, no, it's not natural to be led. So, if you feel, I'm being led of the Spirit, it doesn't come any more natural to me than it does to you in our flesh. Number two, to be led means you have to be broken. Was there ever times when I was broken and broken deeply? Yes. And right now I can thank God for those times. Does that mean I'll never have to be chipped away again? Of course not. Because if that's true, then I'm perfect. And only my wife knows that how perfect I am. But He chips away until we become more like Him one day. Number three, it's easier to be led when you are a colt or when you're younger. So in our younger times, don't waste that time because it is easier. Now I come to one more thing and giving just some time for our communion time together, not to be too late here to do that. My second major point, how are we led by the Spirit of God? How are we led by the Spirit of God? I'm going to give you four ways that the Spirit leads. And the order I'm giving them, I believe, is the order of importance. The first one is much more important than the last one, and so on. The first one, number one, the Holy Spirit will lead you primarily with God's Word. First and foremost, that's it. That means, as a believer in Christ, you must spend time reading it and studying it and being in it, and the more the better. Because if God leads through His Word, we've got to know what it says so we can be led by it. Isn't that true? So studying the Word and being in the Word and learning it and memorizing it is very, very important to the leading of the Spirit of God. There's something else that's true related to this one. God's Spirit will never lead you to do something that violates God's Word. The only way you can know that to be true is if you know it. He will never lead you to divorce your wife and go marry someone else because God's Word forbids that. That's not His leading to do that. I had a friend one time that kind of got involved in this, you know, where you're led by dreams. And him and one of his daughters, they kind of had the same dream, and basically it was that her brother wasn't to work. And so he didn't go to work because God told him not to work. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know about that. I don't necessarily follow that way of thinking, but you know what my first thought was? The Bible says that if you don't work, you don't eat. And it seemed like all of his family and the friends and sisters and stuff were all supporting him. And I thought, well, if he's going out and evangelizing every day, I could kind of go along with that maybe. But no, he was, from what I heard, was home playing video games or whatever. I thought, that went contrary to what God's Word says. You don't work, you don't eat. And so it's God's will that we work so that we can eat. Sometimes we're in a situation where we can't, and that's understandable, where we need help or we need, you know, the state to help us. That's all not what I'm talking about. But if you're healthy and you can, it's your work. If someone's hurt you and you're not willing to forgive them, and somehow in some way you're thinking this is of God. No, it's not, because God commands us to forgive. So that it applies to many things in our lives. The second thing we see, the Holy Spirit can lead you through the counsel or words of other believers who are familiar with God's Word. And so sometimes it's through that. It's through a word of someone else, and God takes it and uses it. It can be a sermon, it can be individual, it can be a counselor that they're speaking, and God touches your heart and uses it. Can be that. So it's important who you hang out with. If that's true, it's important who your friends are. If God leads us through the counsel and words of other people, make sure they're those that know the Lord that are your best friends. And if possible, make sure they're far and above you spiritually, if possible. Let me give you a third one. The Holy Spirit can lead you by the circumstances of life. Be cautious when it comes to this one, because our enemy has the power to alter circumstances. We see it in Scripture. He can do things that way. So as we go, remember, they become less and less important. But God does use the circumstances of life to lead us and guide us as signposts along the way. And I've seen that. That's happened to us. Let me give you a fourth one. The Holy Spirit can also lead through what I'm calling the inner promptings of the Spirit that can give you peace or stir your heart where it just has turmoil, you know, where you just, and He can lead you that way through having peace in your heart that passes all understanding there. But make sure you have more than just that. It might be just heartburn. Who knows? That's number four. I believe God normally leads through a combination of these four. He'll begin to work and lead you in through God's Word, and then all of a sudden some things will start to take place, and there'll be little road signs along the way that it's what God wants you to do. And then you'll have peace in your heart that you're making the right decision. So God normally leads through a combination of at least these four things. I want to give some final thoughts related to the leading of the Spirit. Number one, it does not matter what things look like. God will always make a way, not always out of, but through it. Sometimes out of. We want the out of, don't we? Oh, Lord, just get me out of this. Solve this problem. And God says, no, I'm going to use it in your life, but I'm going to lead you and walk with you through it. Number two, the leading does not mean everything will go smoothly. If you believe that that's not true, just ask Jesus. What happened to him after he was baptized and the Spirit led him where? Into the wilderness. And not into the city, to the Roman, you know, temple or where it was nice and cozy and fun and beautiful. No, he led him into the desert. We know about that last week, don't we? And what happened to him there? He was tested by the enemy. So the leading does not mean everything will go smooth. So don't think that. Trouble is coming, so it must not be God's will. No, that's not true either. Number three, to be led by the Spirit says that you're not there yet. To be led by the Spirit also means we're not there yet. He's leading us somewhere to a destination, is he not? Where do you think he's leading us when he's leading us along the way? Do you think maybe he's leading us to glory? Eventually to heaven? Maybe it's just to be like him. It simply means we haven't got there yet. And as long as we haven't got there yet, he will continue to lead us. And we should seek his leading until the day comes when we realize we're there. We're with him, we've arrived, and we're like him. Number four, God can only lead a humble, meek person who wants to live his way. He can only lead a humble, meek person who really wants to live his life his way. And part of life is trying to break that pride and get us to the place where we walk humbly before him and we're meek like he is. Let me give you a fifth one, and we see this one in the text. The Spirit's leading in our life is evidence of sonship. The Spirit's leading in our lives is evidence of sonship. That simply means if you've never been led by the Spirit of God, and you know it, then you may not be his child at all. Because it's one of the evidence of being a Christian, is that he will lead his own. We see that's number five. Let me give you the sixth one, last one. This one will unlock the Spirit's leading in your life. This is it. This is the key. An important key to unlocking the Spirit's leading is found in verse 13 with the little word for. For points us back to what he just said. He says something for, and then he talks about the leading of the Spirit. This verse, what it says in verse 13, must be true in your life and in my life as a Christian if you are to be led. The leading of the Spirit is not automatic. The leading of the Spirit of a Christian is conditional. It's a conditional thing. Notice what it says, for if you live according to the flesh, according to the selfish dictates of your own heart, he says you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live for those who are led by the Spirit. There's a connection between the two. If the first part is true, that means you got to be saved. And that means that you got to purposely be involved in putting to death the misdeeds of the flesh. You've got to confess your sin. You've got to not want to live a selfish, a sinful, rebellious kind of life. You need to put those things to death, the misdeeds of the body. Then you will live. For you will be led by the Spirit. So the leading of the Spirit goes back. So I didn't take time to study that. I was so involved in this one. Encourage you to study verse 13 because it's key to the rest of the verse, which I didn't do. I'm going to close with a poem that was written by Don Moen. I want to read the words, and then we're going to go ahead and and put the song on the screen, and you can listen to it or sing along with it as you will. But let me just read the song, the words to the song that he wrote. God will make a way. It goes like this. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me, and the rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will remain, and he will do something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me and for us. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength to each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. And that is that God will lead us and guide us. If we surrender totally to him, to his care and to his love, he will make a way. He will lead. And his will be accomplished in our lives as individuals, as a church. The promise is there because he's the shepherd. He's the Lord of the church. And he promises to lead. And wherever he leads, whatever he chooses to do, whenever he wants to do it, is always perfect. Even if it goes against what we think. Because often what we think is not perfect. Father, we thank you for your word and just this lesson, and especially the illustration of a horse and the breaking of the horse and the leading of the horse. And Father, we're like sheep and we're like the horse. We're not like the trainer or the shepherd. That's who you are. May you be that to us today when we leave this place. May we see you leading our lives every day as we trust you, that you know the way and you will take us through whatever that way is. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. We're going to go ahead and